name's Terry Houlihan. It is really weird. I was sitting over there thinking, I got all this extra stuff I've got to remember now. Don't touch your face, cough into your elbow, don't hug anybody, move the mic up, but not, don't touch it. So we'll see. I'm going to read the third step prayer first, for those of you who don't know it. It says in the big book on page 63, we were now at step 3. Many of us said to our Maker as we understood him, God, I offer myself to thee, to build with me and to do with me as thou wilt. Relieve me of the bondage of self, that I may better do thy will. Take away my difficulties, that victory over them may bear witness to those I would help of thy power, thy love, and thy way of life. May I do thy will always. I will tell you that wasn't even anywhere close to what my first third step prayer was. It was more like, what the F do you want from me, God? Because, you know, he just wasn't cooperating. And you know, it said in here that, you know, I had to be rid of selfishness and I couldn't be God. And, well, if I can't be God, then, you know, you need to help me out with these things. And, you know, you need to do what I want you to do. And you know, I pray for all this stuff and you're not answering my prayers. And I was pretty angry about all this because they told me that I couldn't recover unless I found a higher power of my understanding. And, you know, step 3 is really simple. It says, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Mine was more of a, I didn't understand God. I didn't understand anything about him. I knew what other people thought about him, and I didn't understand if God was even interested in helping me or not helping me, or, you know, I just didn't know if I was worthy of a God. And if I was, then how was I going to do this? How was I going to turn my will and my life over to something that I wasn't even sure was real? Well, the reality is that I complicated it a whole lot, and people would say to me, it's just a decision to do the rest of the steps. Just do the rest of the steps. And I probably heard that 150 times before I actually heard it. It's just a decision. That's all it is. It's a decision. And I make lots of decisions every day. Some of them I follow through with and some of them I don't. If I decide to put on red socks, if I make a decision to put on red socks and then I decide to do blue socks instead, the first decision doesn't really mean anything. So I'm working on making this decision, which, I complicated it like way longer than it needed to be. You know, there's this beautiful prayer there, and I say that prayer a lot. I'm not one of those people that does steps 1, 2, and 3 every day. I'm more of a 10, 11, and 12 kind of gal. That's just what works for me. And, you know, they told me, Beverly would tell me that, you know, I was selfish and self-centered, and it really, you know, kind of irritated me a little bit because, you know, I didn't really think I was selfish. I did a lot of stuff for other people. The problem was I expected them to do something back for me. And if they didn't, then I'd be really irritated because they should just automatically know that they should be doing something back for me. And so that was how I kind of went into this sort of a relationship with God, is that, okay, if I do these things that you want me to do, then what are you going to do for me? And it was always about bargains. You know, I always tried to make bargains with God. For somebody who didn't believe in God, I made a lot of deals with him. And, you know, he just didn't seem to hold up his end of the bargain. But, you know, when I looked back later, I didn't really hold up my end either. So, you know, it wasn't a great relationship. And the book, you know, the book talks about forming a relationship with our Creator, and it gives me other names that I can use in here. He can be my employer, he can be the principal, he can be the director, he can be the father. There's a lot of different names that they give me to use if I'm not comfortable with saying God. And I didn't like any of them because none of them let me be in charge. And I really felt that I should be in charge of this stuff because my life was so successful when I got here, as I'm sure most of us had a successful life when we got here. And it's funny because I was talking to somebody yesterday, and her husband has some health issues, and they went to see a plastic surgeon. He has cancer, and they need to do this removal. And my friend works in a medical office, and she said, you know, if they just would do what I tell them to do, and if they just schedule him for when I tell them that he should be scheduled, you know, then I don't have to worry about anything else. And I'm listening to her, and I'm laughing because I'm thinking, you know, every time I decided that someone should do what I think they should do, it was absolutely only to benefit me. And that's what I expected this relationship with a higher power to be, was something that was just going to benefit me. And I didn't really know if I wanted to, you know, like, go the whole deal with turning my will and my life over to this being. And like I said, I heard 150 times, it's a decision to do the rest of the steps, so just do the rest of the steps. And I struggled with it long enough to get drunk again. Because you guys just didn't understand. You just didn't understand how special I was, and how, you know, how smart I was, and you know that I really didn't need to do all these things the way that you did them, and I got drunk, and I never saw it coming. I didn't see it coming. But I wasn't doing anything that this book suggests. I wasn't praying. I wasn't doing anything that this book suggested. I wasn't looking at my part in anything. And, you know, I went back to Tenant Bar when I got out of rehab because, you know, that's all I knew how to do. And it really worked well. Me and the big book, you know, that I had not even opened were, you know, helping the people at the bar. Yeah, it was pretty interesting. And the next thing that I knew, I got drunk, and I didn't see it coming. And I said, well, you know, what's going on? Is God supposed to help me stay sober? But, you know, God will do for me what I can't do for myself. He won't do for me what I won't do for myself. And if I can do things for myself, then that's what I need to be doing. I have to do this footwork. This is such a simple, soft, easy program. But I am a complex and angry alcoholic by the time that I get to this step three, and I don't understand easy and simple and soft. So to me, it doesn't make any sense that how can this possibly work? It's just too easy. And I'm looking at the people in the rooms, and they're, you know, they're smiling and they're happy, and I would say to them, well, you know, what did you do? How did you get? Well, you know, we got a God. We pray, you know, we followed the directions in the big book, and I hated that answer, so I would go to somebody else and look for a different one. And the people that I got different answers from were just about as miserable as me. So, you know, the thing about Alcoholics Anonymous is you can find whatever you're looking for. You can find misery if you want it. It's here. If you want joy, you can find that too, because it's here. So, you know, think about what you're looking for while you're here. And I realized that I wanted the joy, and some things were going on in my life that I just could not control, and I was really not happy about that. And you know, I was waiting to hear if I was going to get this job, and some other things were going on, and I just was insane, you know, just absolutely insane with trying to figure out how to get all these things into my life. And one day I just said, all right, you know, what the F do you want from me, God? And something happened to me that kind of scared me a little bit, because something changed in that instant. Some kind of spiritual awakening happened to me in that instant. And it was like I had a warm blanket wrapped around me, and I knew, absolutely knew without a doubt, that if I followed the rest of this, I was going to be okay. And I didn't still do that because, again, still a little bit special, still a little bit different, still, you know, smarter than you guys. So it really took me, probably 3 years to really just, like, make this decision and then take the, you know, next action. And that's exactly when I do the action is next. And I did feel that effect that it talks about, you know, when I did this step, honestly, I did feel a great effect. And it was humbling in it, and it was wonderful. And, you know, I try to, when I'm working with the girls that I sponsor, they struggle with this step just as much as I do. And so I try to share, you know, a part of my story with them, and I tell them the same thing, you know, it's just a decision. You know, what do you want to do? God either is or he isn't, pick one. And usually they go, all right, and you know, they kind of mumble around, and we and we still move forward, because what I've learned in my own life is if I'm stuck on this step, then I'm not going to move forward. And sometimes I get stuck on a step because I don't want to move forward, because I don't want to do the work. I'm afraid. You know, everything in my life was about fear. And I come to this decision and I'm afraid, because what will happen? What is going to happen if I actually do this? What's going to happen? Who am I going to be? And it's, you know, it's just... I'm so grateful that I don't have a lot of fear in my life anymore, so I don't really worry about touching my face and whatever. But for me, step three was the reality that there really is something bigger than me. And I had seen some instances of that in my own life, but I didn't want to chalk it up to it being God. I wanted to chalk it up to my own, you know, personal wonderfulness. And it says in here, and this is one of the best parts for me, and it's talking about, you know, we had to quit playing God because it didn't work, and then he gives us all these names that we can use to call us a higher power. And then they say, most good ideas are simple, and this concept was the keystone of the new and triumphant arch through which we passed to freedom. And when I actually read and heard and understood that sentence, I knew that I wanted that freedom. I wanted the freedom, so I knew that I needed to build that arch. And so step three for me is the keystone, and that's the one that's anchored in place and says, okay, this is what we're going to do. This is how we're going to move forward. I'm thinking that's about it.
Thank you, Terry. Who wants to start us off with questions?
All right. Hi, Terry.
Hi.
My problem is with step three is letting go, let God. I believe in God. God is my higher power. But I'm just going through a lot of stuff right now, and I'm just questioning it so much right now. So how would you handle that?
Well, how I would have handled it before and how I handle it now is a lot different. When I figured out that I was going to turn my will and my life over to the care of God, he could have my alcoholism, but he couldn't have anything else. You know, not the finances, not the boyfriend, not the job, not the relationships with my kids. So it was like a cubbyhole kind of God. Well, you can work on this and I'll take care of everything else. And it's exhausting to do all that. And it's, you know, let go and let God. I heard people say, you know, turn it over and let go and let God. And to me, turn it over and let go mean two different things. Because I could turn it over in my mind all day and it didn't mean anything. But if I'm going to let go, that means I have to let go. So underneath that, not being willing to let go, I usually find that there's some kind of fear. I'm either not going to get something I think I deserve, or somebody's going to take something away from me, or there's always some kind of fear underneath that. And of course, it's always selfishness. You know, it's always about something's not going to be the way I want it or believe that it should be. And the other thing that I've learned is that I don't really have good skills when it comes to figuring out what's good for me and what isn't. So, because most of the relationships that I had, I thought were just going to be wonderful, and they were going to save me, and they were going to, you know, I was just going to live happily ever after, and they really turned out to be not so good. So, sometimes I have to look at it like that. Like, I don't know the difference between, you know, good and bad in situations. So, usually, if I just let God handle it, it generally turns out a whole lot better than if I try to force it.
Who's got a question?
Thank you.
Hi, Terry.
Hi, Aaron.
I'm Aaron. I'm an alcoholic. When you said that you felt like you were wrapped in a blanket, mm-hmm. can you elaborate on that for me, please?
It literally felt like someone was taking a blanket, like an electric blanket that's warm, and literally they just came up behind me and wrapped it around me, and it wasn't necessarily a physical feeling. It was more of an emotional and spiritual kind of feeling, I guess, is the best way that I can explain that. If and when it happens to you, you will know it absolutely. It scared me. I had to call Beverly.
Who's next?
Saving Kevin only briefly, I guess, but I'm Leslie, alcoholic, and thank you, Terry, very much. Your third step prayer was kind of interesting and, you know, not thoroughly according to Hoyle, but I was wondering, you know, as you sponsor people, mm-hmm. do you take the physical action of saying a third step prayer with them in some way, shape, or form? Is that part of how you do it with people?
Absolutely. When we get to the point where it's time for them to start on the fourth step, I go back through the first three steps with them because I want to make sure that they are ready. And a lot of times they're kind of ready. It's sort of lukewarm. But like I said, we keep moving anyway. But absolutely, I say this third step prayer with them. And I ask them if they have any reservations, because that's what the book says to do. Do you have any reservations about continuing with the rest of the program? Because for me, that was easier to understand than turning my will and my life over to the care of God as I understood him. So when I say, are you willing to follow the rest of the program of action, it seems to be easier for them to accept. And always I go through step three, because it's really crucial. Well, they're all crucial. Thanks.
Ooh, I don't want to touch it.
It's so you can be recorded like me, Jesse.
I'm Jesse. When people, when I'm taking someone through the third step, and they ask me about my beliefs, what would you do? Do you tell them your personal, like, if you're spiritual or if you're religious? How would you handle that?
I tell them that when I first came here, I didn't want anything to do with God and higher power, and God stuck right here. And so a friend of mine had a God named Margaret, so I used Margaret for a while. And then that evolved over time, and I realized that for me, I'm a visual person, so I had to visualize a higher power. And you guys, I know a lot of you heard this last week. You might be old enough to remember the Fleischmann's margarine commercial where the flowing dress, and she's walking through a field and she has the daisy crown, and she says, it's not nice to fool Mother Nature. And that was my visual that I needed of my higher power. And so what I say to them is, that's my higher power. It's love, and it's and it's gentleness, and it's humility, and it's trust, and it's hope. And those are words that they can understand, I think. And so I always, you know, anything they ask me, I will answer always to the best of my ability.
Hi, I'm Catherine. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Catherine.
So you said, I liked what you said, that you just have to make the decision. And maybe you covered this and I sort of missed it, but okay, so I'm working on step three right now, so I can wrap my head around that, like I can make the decision, but are you saying the rest of it sort of comes later in the rest of the steps, or it's that's it, make a decision, period, or I felt good and now I'm like, okay, I made a decision, now what?
Our decision could have little permanent effect unless at once followed by a strenuous effort to face and be rid of the things that had been blocking us, which means we do step four next. That's it's in the book. Yeah. Right out of the book. Right there. And so that's the decision. I mean, when I just did step three, and I didn't, because, you know, I was going to rest for a while, too, because, I mean, it was a big deal. I should rest for a while. And I got drunk. It's just, when do we do step four next? Just next. You know, that's if I've done step three, and maybe it's with a little bit of reservation. It says in here we shouldn't have any lurking notion. But I think that I still did when I did step three and became willing to take the next action. Doing steps four and five brought me right back, as the book says, to steps one, two, and three. And I looked at them over again, and I got a deeper understanding of what all of those mean. And so while I'm not a person that does steps one, two, and three every day, I still make that decision every day to do something to enhance my recovery, to work with another alcoholic, to follow the suggestions that I've been given.
Who's next?
Thanks again, Terry. Appreciate it. Do you have a timetable kind of that you work off of? Like, you know, somebody says, would you sponsor me? And then you give them the first step, the second step, and the third step. Do you have like a global picture of how they should, a timetable of how they should follow?
Yeah, but it never works. Because, again, it's control. I sit down, we go through the doctor's opinion, you know, we you know, I make sure that they understand the physical allergy and the mental obsession, and then we get to step two, and you know, I ask them, you know, do they understand what that means, and do they believe that, you know, they can be restored to sanity, which just means that they are understanding that they are powerless over alcohol and their lives are unmanageable apart from divine help. And then we get to step three, and it depends. You know, some women are like really hard-headed and bullheaded and stubborn like me, and some of them are just done. You know, they're just done. And the ones that are just done are easy, because we can do steps one, two, and three in about 4 minutes. But I always go back with them again so that I know that they really understand that this is a commitment. You know, this is an actual commitment to the rest of your life. It's not just a one-time deal. I did all 12 steps in detox, and it didn't really work out that well. So, I want them to understand that this is the first step to really the rest of their life. And so I don't necessarily have a timetable. It really depends on the person.
Okay. So when you're working with somebody and they go, I guess, so all the evidence points to my life has been unmanageable and I'm powerless, and I guess this thing will restore me to sanity. And I'm at this third step, and there's this kind of God thing in there. You go over stuff with, like, I'll just say the doubters that go, you had Margaret because you really didn't believe, but so do you pass Margaret on, or do you let them go through the book and pick out one of those adjectives? Do you make them kind of have a label for their higher power?
I usually have them write down what they think a higher power should be. And it's been my experience that if they see it in writing, it's easier for them to visualize. And I always tell them about Margaret, and I tell them about the Fleischmann's margarine commercial. And I tell them that that's, you know, I use the word God because people generally understand what I'm talking about. But my experience of that higher power goes beyond what that word means. And, you know, some of them are just not going to... So I say, all right, it's good orderly direction, or a group of drunks, or any of the other things that you can use. I actually have less problems with the ones who maybe don't believe than the ones who are convinced that they have a God and they're very religious and, you know, this is how you do it. And what I invariably have to say to them is, this doesn't seem to be working well for you. So, you know, maybe you might want to try this way. And, you know, they will go off rattling whatever they, you know, about their particular religion. And I tell them, you know more about that than I do. But I know more about this than you do. So let's try it this way. And usually they get mad, but whatever.
Anyone else? Okay. Thank you, Tara.
Hey, cool. Y'all will not get out of here so early next week, I promise you.
All right.